Please open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your precious word and for the privilege of sharing it. Lord, we ask now that you would teach us how to fit in with the purpose and plans of God for our lives, for our families, for this community, for this nation, and ultimately for the world. We say yes to all that you would show us today, and we receive your blessings in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The title of this message is Restoring All Things. The Lord has a plan, and it is simply this: to restore all things. Everything in the universe is going to be restored into harmony and unity with the Lord God Almighty. It says that in the time of the millennium, the thousand-year reign on the earth, in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9, it says, "And there will be one name on the earth, and it will be the Lord's name, because he will be King of kings and Lord of lords, and everything will be restored according to his plan and his purpose." In order for us to understand this restoration process, I want to give you three words that will help you. And they all start with R, so it'll be easy for you to remember them. The first one is redeem. And the second one is reconcile. And the third one is restore. Redeem, reconcile, and restore. God is reconciling the whole world to himself. Now, reconciliation or reconciling means to bring together a broken relationship. And before there can be a restoration of anything in the world, there has to be a coming together of relationships. A relationship with God, a relationship with each other, relationships in marriage, relationships in community. And out of that restored godly relationships, the restoration of all things will take place. So it comes through being redeemed, and then it comes through being reconciled or brought back together again. And that is when all things will ultimately be restored. You are a part of this restoration program, because all things can't be restored unless you're restored, unless your family is restored to God. But it's not just you and your family. If we go to the book of Romans, we read in chapter 8, in verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait earnestly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So everything has to be redeemed. Creation is going to be redeemed. It says that all of creation groans and waits for this. It waits to be redeemed. Now, do you know what this word redeemed means? It means to be bought, to be purchased, to be bought back. This is very common, this phrase, for Jewish people. And it's easy for nature to understand, because they know, the Jewish people and nature know, they belong to God. They are a people belonging to God. Gentiles have a problem, generally speaking, around the world with being owned by somebody. They do not want somebody to own them. They want to be their own person. They want to be their own man, their own woman. And they say, nobody's going to own me. But redemption is about being owned. See, the Bible teaches us that the Jewish people, all through the Old Testament, talked about a redeemer. It says, your redeemer is coming. It says, look for the redeemer who will come. The prophecies about redemption and the redeemer are mentioned 100 times in the Old Testament, while the word redeem or redemption is only 12 times in the New Testament. Because what we think of as revival, we pray, Lord, let revival come. Let revival come to this nation so people will get on fire and give their lives to Jesus. Well, the Jewish people didn't talk about revivals coming. They talked about being redeemed, being bought back by God. They realized that their whole nation had lost their way. They realized that they had stepped away from God, had severed the ties so that they no longer belonged to Him. And the Jewish people looked for the redemption of Israel. What did it mean? It meant a time would come, which we would call revival. But for them, it was redemption. A time would come when the people of Israel would be bought back by God. And they would become, like the scripture says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So God and Jesus is the Redeemer. Remember that song by Keith Green? It's one of my favorites. I remember watching him sing it back when the dinosaurs roamed on the earth. And he was playing so hard on his piano, I thought his fingers would bleed. And I was right there at the front in this huge outdoor concert with thousands and thousands of people. And he was singing, there is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. And then his voice would go up where my voice doesn't go, and he would sing, there is a Redeemer. Someone to buy me back because I lost my way. Someone to reclaim me because I'm like a boat on the sea without a sail and without an anchor, without a rudder. I'm just aimless. See, you were made for the living God. The living God made you for Himself to be His people, to be His possession, literally to be the bride of Christ. But you have to be redeemed. And the Lord will redeem everything, not just in heaven, but also on the earth. Everything by His blood, the Redeemer bought back everything to the Father. It's the first stage of restoration. If you don't understand that you need to be bought, you are already paid for, but now you have to follow through and say, yes, here I am. I'm showing up. I'm not going to be in rebellion anymore, but I give my life to Jesus. And then we find that the act of redemption that Jesus accomplished on the cross becomes good to us. It goes into our life. Now, everything on the planet has been bought by God. Every tree, every lake, every nation, every particle, every person, every animal, all the ants, more ants on the planet than all other animals combined, except for the microscopic ones. Yeah. And they eat more food than all the mammals, including elephants and all the rest, ants do. And Jesus bought every one of them. Jesus, let me tell you, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and everything, and everyone who dwells within it. It belongs to him. It's not negotiable. When he died on the cross, he bought it back. He bought it back. So the scripture teaches us that we have been redeemed. Ha. We have been redeemed from the judgment of the law. We have been redeemed, the Bible says, from wickedness. The Bible says we have been redeemed from the curse. And we have been redeemed, says in Psalm 107, from the hand of the devil. Now, let me say what this means. It means that somebody else owned you. You might not have realized it. You might not have realized that you were owned by another. But you were owned by a curse, a judgment that ruled your life. You were owned, the Jewish people especially, by the law and the judgments of the law. They couldn't get away from it. They couldn't escape it, and they couldn't fulfill it. They were trapped. And many have been slaves to wickedness. Through all of their life, they have partaken of this toxic drink of participation with evil. And it has grown because of the corruption that's in their hearts, and because of lust, and because of greed, and because of every sinful thing. And wickedness has grown until wickedness has owned people's lives. And the devil, he stepped in. Now, he just can't own anybody. But when somebody willfully joins his party, they join the devil party. They don't even know it. It may be called by another name. But the pathway to it is called rebellion. And it's when you decide that you're not going to put your life in the hands of God, and you become part of the devil party. And the sad thing is that then he owns you. He torments, he directs, he confuses, he plots against you, because that's what the Bible says. Satan has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance. So the Bible says, you have been redeemed from the hand of the devil. He doesn't own me anymore. He doesn't have a place in my life. He has no controlling partnership over me. Amen. Nor does wickedness. I've been redeemed from wickedness. So my heart now has been given to the Lord. I've received the mind of Christ. Oh, I'm certainly far from perfect. But I'm on a journey, and there's a covering that comes over me that has redeemed me from wickedness. And I'm redeemed from the judgments of the law, that the law has no power over me, because there's a new law. It's the law of the Spirit of life that's in me. And then I've been redeemed also from every curse, because he became a curse for me when he hung on the cross, so that I might receive the blessings. See, a curse is a judgment that goes from generation to generation. It will own a family until it is broken, until you are redeemed back to God. That curse will own you and will own your family. It will bring destruction to your family. But I have been redeemed. Remember that song? I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's it. By the blood of the Lamb. Yeah. So that's the first step. First, you've got to come to that place where you recognize and you receive what Jesus did when he bought you on the cross. You are redeemed. And then you line up with the Jewish people, who for all of the centuries have said they were looking for a redeemer. And when that little baby came, they said, this is the one who has come to redeem, to buy back Israel, the chosen people of God. All of creation knows they are looking for a redeemer. They're looking to be bought back. And they say it comes when the people of God come into their fullness. So the first thing is redemption. Nature knows about it. The Jews know about it. The Gentiles are getting there. And of course, the Jews have to relearn it because many have forgotten and walked away. So the second thing then is this word reconciliation. Before everything can be restored, you've got to be bought by the Lord. You've got to give your life to Him. The second thing is there has to be reconciliation. So come with me to 2 Corinthians. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Now, this is amazing. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. He is the great reconciler. He restores the relationship. There's one way to the Father, and it's through Jesus. For there's no other name under heaven whereby a man or woman can be saved but by the name of Jesus. And he restores that relationship. He brings us into relationship with God. See, God doesn't want to just fix things for you. Many people came up for prayer this morning, and you should. And I know that when God deals with people, he overlooks a lot of things. Otherwise, none of us would get to first base. But he certainly is there, and he meets us, and he heals, and he saves. And so many stories come of his provision, his care for our children, answers to prayer every single day without fail. But the Lord isn't looking just to answer your prayers and to give you another gift. Yes, of course, you were called to inherit a blessing. But what he's looking for is a relationship with you. He wants you to become a friend of God. He calls you to that place. He wants your children not just to attend church. He wants your children to become friends of God, to be reconciled. Because out of that comes an impartation. Out of that friendship and sonship and daughterhood and that connection in the family of God starts to flow the river of God into your life. Some people have said it like this: it's better caught than taught. This isn't about going to Bible school and getting some academic acknowledgement of the right doctrine. You can have all the right doctrine and be totally messed up. You can. I'm sure there's a lot of people in that boat. But if you have a relationship with the Lord, even if you have bad doctrine, God will fix you up. So this is the process of reconciliation. Now, what things are you called to redeem? Are you a redeemer? We've just learned that we not only have been reconciled by Christ to God, but we've also received the ministry of reconciliation, as if the Lord was reconciling the world through us. What an amazing thing. And this work of redemption, I want to put before you today. What are you going to redeem today? See, redemption is when you pay a great price to bring something into restoration. That's what it means to redeem. You're buying something back. We've come into this building just 1 month ago. And I've had an anointing on me. I'm here just about every day. And I go through every room and every place, and I'm looking. I'm looking for stuff that can be reused. I'm looking for things that can be redeemed for the purposes of God. It's a holy thing for me when I go up into some room behind a room that's behind a room and I find a closet that can be used. Because I believe that everything that went into this place originally was dedicated for the glory of God. But every chair and every piece of carpet and every wall and every item has been displaced. It's like it's lost its purpose. It's lost its direction. It's lost its meaning in life. And it's my job and yours to redeem it. To do what's necessary to buy it back, to paint it, to fix it, to put it in place, to see it being used for the glory of God. So you could sing that you have a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. But then you might find the Holy Spirit coming on you and you start singing, I am a Redeemer. Because you're a partner, you see. Because the Lord wants to work through you. Now, what part of the earth doesn't belong to Him? It's all His, isn't it? And this place, especially, with this river running along the 18 acres, this is the river place. And we are here, Antioch International Church. We're in this barn. And there's a studio there with all of the lights and all of the equipment and everything that was placed here once upon a time for the glory of God. That's its purpose. And now God brought you here. And you say, what am I doing here? Well, whether it's a good service or not so good a service, it's kind of secondary to the purpose of God in your life. And if God brings you to a place and you get the Spirit of the Lord on you and the Lord says to you, I want to put my hand to the plow. I want to put my hand to the work. I want to go forward for the kingdom of God. I will redeem some part of this place until it shines with the glory of God. That's a holy calling. And you might say, well, Pastor, it's about people. Well, of course it's about people. But don't forget the chairs on the way. It's all about everything belonging to the Lord. I look forward to the day when this place has such a dignity and such an honor. And it's been prophesied that even people driving by will begin to weep and come to the Lord. People in the parking lot will get saved without somebody talking to them. The presence of the Lord. Whew. There are buildings of, like the temple, where the presence of God was so strong in the building that when the priests came in, they got all wobbly-kneed. They fell down on their faces and the Shekinah glory came upon them and they didn't know what to do. And people fell on their faces. The fire of God came down. And the whole nation of Israel fell on their faces and began to worship God. Yeah. What about in that upper room? You might say, well, that was just Old Testament. Please don't throw it away. What about the upper room? They were in that place. And suddenly, it's as if the doors blew off and the windows flew up. And there was a mighty rushing wind, and an earthquake took place, and fire came and sat on each of their heads, and they began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. The fire of God came, and they went out into the streets. Happened in a building. Power of God. So rich and so powerful. So intense. I've been in places where the power of God came that everybody started crying. You just couldn't explain it. You just knew this was the power of God. The glory of God had come. I don't think the fullness of His glory, just a little bit of His glory. But it was more than what we could handle emotionally. His power, His majesty, His magnificence. Oh, we the church in America needs to realize that it's not just about a good program. It's not just about getting everything looking nice and everybody doing what's nice. It's about the glory of the Lord that one day will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And let this place be a gateway of heaven for the power and glory of God to come. I believe it was designed to be that. Whatever former glory was here will not be like the latter glory. But that's God's business. I just know it's been prophesied that although different, the power and anointing of the Lord will become more powerful in here than it has ever known. And I believe it with all of my heart. And so, we get bought back. And I ask you today, what are you going to buy back? Are you going to buy back your grandchildren? Are you going to buy back your family? What sacrifice? What do you have to pay to buy back? It's a work of God. You can't make it happen by yourself. But when it starts to move inside of you, you jump to it and say, yes, I'm going for that with all my heart. I'm going to be a redeemer because I work for the Redeemer. And I'm a reconciler. I've received this ministry of reconciliation. Until we come to this place where the Lord restores everything. It starts in the very depths of you as a person. That's why the psalmist wrote, He restores my soul. But He restores everything. Just like you might fix a sound system or a chair or a garden or a family. Today, there are people in this place who need restoration. You need restoration in your heart. You need restoration in your family. And just a week from now, we'll be sending out another missionary. Last week, we prayed over a couple who are now in the Philippines. And another couple are ministering in the tornado-ridden places of the United States today. People that we're always sending out. That's why we're called Antioch, the missionary sending church of the New Testament. Next week, we'll be sending Mark Gilowitz and his mother off to Poland. It's Mother's Day, so he's taken off with his mom. And they're going to Poland for the work of missions there, to work in orphanages and to do discipleship training in that place. And he has to apologize to the church there because I was supposed to go and be a part of the ministry, but I said I can't because there's a time to go and a time to stay. And now that we have this place, it's a time to stay, at least for this season. And so he's going with apologies. But he's going into a land, Poland, that was the first to be attacked by Nazi Germany. In 1939, the Nazis went to the border of Poland. They dressed up some people who they actually wanted to kill in Polish soldier uniforms and they drove them across the border. And then they had them come to the edge of the border, and the Nazis shot them and said, "See, the Polish army was coming against us." And then they invaded Poland. And from there, they went from nation to nation to nation. And you know what's happening right now in the Ukraine, which is a bordering nation, where Mr. Putin and the Russians have edged their way in and already taken part of that country back and are threatening the whole of the Ukraine. And Poland knows that they're next in line. Outside of divine intervention and the purposes of God, that is a possibility for the Polish people. They saw it once before. So here's a man of God. We'll pray over him next week. He's going to that place. And he's going to be to reconcile people to God. He's going to restore the purposes of God. He's going to do his part in that great purpose. Isn't that right, Mark? It sure is. So, what needs to be restored in your life is just a small part of God restoring all things ultimately unto himself. So let me give you a few suggestions. You might need your joy restored. Some of you had your joy stolen away from you. You might need your health restored. You might need your finances restored. You might need your hopes restored. Your family's restored. Your future might need to be restored. Sometimes people mess up and things happen and everything around them crumbles to the ground and it looks like they have no future and they lose their hope. They have no hope. And then they have no peace. But the Lord is in the restoration business. He restores peace. He restores hope. He restores a future. And when the Lord restores it, it's better than it ever, ever was. If you're in the middle of it, it's hard for you to see it. But I've seen it 1,000 times with people who would not let go of the Lord and how the Lord restored to them the years that the caterpillar had eaten, the years that the cankerworm had eaten. He said, "I will restore unto you the years of the locusts and the years of the plaguing insects." They're spiritual demonic entities. And he says, "I will restore them unto you." Now, let's pray. I want to pray for the restoration, which is coming for all things. It's a little down the road, and there's going to be a lot of upheaval before it comes. But the restoration power of Jesus Christ is the same always. And I don't know what restoration you might need today, but I want to come into the prayer of agreement for you and your family, for your situation, for the restoration power of the Lord. And at the beginning of June, the end of this month, we'll be having our grand opening here, and we're going to together dedicate this place to the glory of God for the restoration and more of God's power and purpose. But today, it's about you and your family. Pastor Ed came up to me earlier, and he said, "Today, there are people here who need to cast down idols." And he mentioned a few things that God had spoken to him, such as some of you who have had a heyday in the 60s, in the hippie days, in the days of all kinds of breaking of covenants and immorality. Some of you have stuff there that were idols in your life that you never cast down. Today it's time to cast down those idols so that there may be redemption in that part of your life and reconciliation for that part of your life and restoration. Would you stand? Would you pray this prayer with me? We're going to rededicate our life to the Lord. And I want to give you opportunity to just repent. Because that's how it starts. That scripture we started off, the very first word was repent. So that the times of refreshing from the Lord may come to you. So why don't you just bow your head right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to repent then. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. I cast all my idols down before you. I know what they are. And Lord, I open my life to you now. For the power of God. For the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of God, and wash me and cleanse me. And let your goodness flow. I receive restoration in all the areas of my life. The restoration of joy and hope and family. The restoration of health and the purposes of God. And the restoration of my future. I receive your blessing and your calling over me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.